Amen. Well, last week we talked about having a warring spirit because that's the spirit of God. Today we're going to talk about fighting. Just a little bit. Not physical fighting. Okay. Today's title is Fighting the Good Fight of Faith. Amen? You got me? Okay. We see the first scripture. It says in 1 Timothy 6:11 through 14, it says, "But you, man of God, or woman of God," that is you he's talking to, "flee from all this." And what he's talking about is the desires of to be rich, to be noticed, to really have those accolades that really is contrary to the Spirit of God. "And pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses, in the sight of God who gives life to everything, and of Jesus Christ, who, while testifying before Pontius Pilate, made the good confession. I charge you to keep this commandment without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." We need to understand that fighting the fight of the good fight of faith really encompasses one major fact. We're fighting ourselves. Okay? And to give up is to give up on ourselves. Let me give you a little fact. When we came to Jesus Christ, we were rebellious, we were contrary in speech and thought and actions. We were totally engrossed in ourselves. But the moment the light went on and we saw the truth of Jesus Christ, God put into us his very spirit, a warring spirit. And inside of each one of us, whether we want to admit it or not, we want to conduct this warfare. But some of us don't realize what is entailed in this warfare. Some of us don't even realize how to be successful in this warfare. Some of us have even given, and I'm one of them, wanted to capitulate because we figured that the struggle is too hard. And then I realized what Christ has done for me. And I have not suffered unto death. And because God has given me his very spirit, and he has put that same spirit in each and every one of his children, we need to fight the good fight of faith. Satan doesn't fight well or play well. He will attack us personally, and a lot of us have gone through a lot of sicknesses and hardships that has befallen us. A lot of us have been attacked in our jobs, in which sometimes it's really abnormal in those things. And some of us have even had conflict in our extended atmospheres with personal relationships, our family, our wives, our spouses, you know, which is out of the norm. And ever since God has given us the idea of praise the roof off, we have experienced all this. We have experienced. This includes you. And I conclude that we're on the right path with God. Because the enemy would not be doing this if it weren't so. We just don't happen to have these problems visit us because God wants to punish us, or he takes some sort of sick pleasure in putting these things on us. Now, God is good. He wants to relieve that. He wants us to fight with him to become what he has created us to be from the beginning. And it takes a warring spirit to do that. And so what we're going to do today is we're going to take a short journey about discovery. What is this fight? It's the first thing we're going to look at. We have to understand that this fight is going to last a lifetime. No matter what befalls us, like I said before, we're fighting in ourselves. And this fight entails us putting to death every day our fallen nature and living in the Spirit of God. Some of us don't realize what that means. Well, a lot of us don't even realize what the victory of Jesus Christ appropriated for us. His victory over the devil was a spiritual victory for which we get the privilege to work into our lives and proclaim Jesus Christ and his victory. A lot of us understand that, but it hasn't really sunken into our minds. And God says he's patient with us so that we can begin to understand that what he has designed is the church, and the church is supposed to edify and build up each and every believer. And we try to do that. We try to be family. We sacrifice for one another. We pray for one another. We lay hands on one another. We do all the things that we're supposed to do. But do we expect the miracle of God to be activated when we do these things? That's the challenge. That's the good fight of faith, is believing that he can do this. If we put our carnal nature to death, our spiritual nature consequently grows. If we are successful, we have to understand that what we're facing, what we're going through, only makes us stronger. We've heard the old adage, if it doesn't kill you, you're stronger. Well, that's the truth. And what we have to understand, this is an agony. All of us agonize over the situations that we're in. We pray, God, deliver us from this. God, take me through this. God, heal me of this. And yet our situations are still the same. We have to understand that God is sovereign. And if we want God to work in our lives, we have to be as biblical as the Word instructs us to be. The Word says, if there's any among you that are sick, let them call upon the elders, and they will pray the prayer of faith. And any sin that they have committed, they will be forgiven, and they shall recover. And a lot of times we invite people to come up and receive their healing and stuff, but they go back and they say, I didn't get healing. Yeah, you did. You have to activate your faith to believe this. The moment you ask, God manifests it. It may not be manifested in the physical realm, but it is manifested in the spiritual realm. You are made whole. And the more you believe this, guess what? You recover. You recover. The Greek word to fight is agonizo, from which we get the word agonize. That's why I say we agonize with this stuff. The proper translation of fighting the good fight is to agonize the good agony. Reminds me of what Peter says. When you find yourself in various trials and tribulations, rejoice. I can't rejoice. I'm agonizing over this. You know? I'm agonizing about the roof issue. Every time something comes up, I agonize it. I try to cover it in prayer. I try to be stalwart pastor. But just like you, I have flesh and I have to wrestle against that and maintain a good attitude and stuff. Believe that God's going to meet our needs and not only meet it, but far exceed our needs. This struggle is in a term that Paul puts in like for the military or for an athlete. We saw the Olympics, the Summer Olympics, we'll do that. Or even the past Olympics, where I like downhill skiing. And I like what's going on. And they have a camera right on the line where, that finish line. And you see these skiers stretching out. They're agonizing every part of their being to be the victor. Just sometimes the other person that they're racing against wins. That's what Paul is talking about. We're agonizing in such a way. We want to be victorious. Are we stretching? Are we pursuing Jesus Christ in such a way that we can appropriate his victory, which is a reality for us? But is it every day that we're doing this stuff? Or do we succumb to the situations of our life and say, oh, well, you know, I believe in Jesus. I'm going to heaven. That's all that matters. Really? Really? Is your salvation so cheap to stay in your carnal position? Jesus Christ died for you. He died for me. He agonized on the cross. God gave his very best and expects us to do likewise. And endure. Endurance is one of those things that you develop. You know, an athlete doesn't develop endurance just because he's an athlete. He endures because he's trained. He trains for this competing race or whatever. There is training, there's teaching, there is so much that goes into it. What we get to see is the final outcome of this person's life. I get the privilege as pastor to hear some of the miraculous things that are happening in your lives. And it encourages me to continue in my prayer closet for you. I don't even pray for myself, although I should. I'm so excited what God's doing in your life. I just believe he's got my life taken care of. We must remember, first of all, this fight is not against flesh and blood, according to Ephesians 6:12. We know we wrestle not against flesh and blood, by principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. So we need to focus not on, because my wife gives me an attitude that she's the problem. Never. Never is my wife the problem. The problem is my attitude. And I need an adjustment of the Lord. I go into my prayer closet and he straightens me out. And I come back and I say, thank you, wife. Thank you for all the good things that you've done in my life. And we're not talking about sarthing. You know, that's cutting away the flesh. You know. But our spouses know us better than anybody else. They deal with it. And she just takes the scripture out and just says, this is what God says. Doesn't that grate against you a little bit? Because she's right. We also know that the weapons of our warfare are mighty in God, according to 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5. These weapons are made so that we can argue with people in such a way that they cannot argue against the truth. If we are committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ with people, we need to know the truth. We need to know the person of Jesus Christ. And the best thing in the argument is, what has Jesus done in your life? They can't argue that. And we're fighting every day. This is why God's mercies are renewed every day. We need His mercy because we mess up. Every day I go into my prayer closet and I repent. I do. I repent. I'm not perfect. And I don't want my imperfections to affect your lives. And so if I'm quick to repent and get washed in the blood, the Holy Spirit begins to lead me into areas that He wants me to deal with. The focus is no longer on me. The focus is on what God wants to do with me, through me. In understanding that fighting a good fight requires time, we need endurance. Every trial that we go through prepares us for the next trial. It does. I can't tell you some of the things that God has done in my life to prepare me for such a time as this. If you knew the pressures that are alongside of things, you would say, man, I don't have an aspiration for eldership. I don't have an aspiration to be a leader in the church. I don't. And I would comment, is that God speaking to you or is that you speaking to you? Because our aspirations in God should be, I want to be all that I can be in Jesus Christ. Fighting the good fight of faith requires us to have endurance. It requires us to learn from every situation and make it applicable to the next one. We may mess up in that situation that we're at. Repent. Get it under the blood and move on. If you don't repent, let me tell you what happens. We're going through life in a lot of trials and tribulations. But in those trials and tribulations, Satan has a ploy, a strategy against your life, who wants to immobilize you. He will use traps. He will use people. He will cause situations to come into your house in such a way that if you divert your attention from Jesus and handle or react to what He's doing, He has been successful because you as a warrior should have only one thing in mind. The destruction of His kingdom. You should be like me, hating the things that people have to go through because we live in this world, but we're not of this world. Why do we need to be equipped? Should be our next question. Ephesians 4:11 says, and He gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of God, the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Did you get it? No, we're not going to go line by line. But the whole thing is that in our struggles, in our agony, God in His wisdom has provided individuals, of which we've had several of them come in and teach us how to become more like Christ. how the church is to function, how we're to surrender what we want until we come into the unity of faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God. This, what Paul is saying here, is not a literal knowledge, a book knowledge of God. It's literally having a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. A lot of people have a knowledge of Jesus, but they have no relationship with him. When things go wrong in their lives, they break the emergency glass called Jesus and hose down everything in their life, thinking that's the cure-all. When they should have been building the relationship, seeking him each and every day. Well, you just don't get it, Pastor. You know, I got this going on in my life. I got that going on in my life. I'm just busy. I don't have time. I use an acronym for busy. Being under Satan's yoke. Let me repeat that. Busy. If you tell me you're busy, you're under Satan's yoke. He wants to keep you away from your relationship with Almighty God because he realizes that the moment that you stick through this, you endure it, you agonize to have it, he's defeated. Doesn't stop him from developing another strategy or tactic to be used against us. How important is Jesus to you? Is the question. We go through these hardships and we serve each other, and I call these the beneficial agonies of endurance. Irene come home Saturday, was it? Friday it was. I come home, she says, I was just in the church building and the kids' room is flooded. I said, really? And I was like, man, what do you want me to do, Lord? I mean, I'm agonizing about this thing. She says, that's not half of it. I cleaned a mess up, she said. But I was in another room and I heard something go crash. And the lights don't work. I'm like, oh my. Got my shoes on real quick. I wanted to see this. This is unbelievable. Come over here, and of course, I'm dealing with some things with the warehouse. And there's an individual in there who's moving some of his belongings out. And he says, how you doing, guy? And I said, when it rains, it pours. I said, but this too shall pass. It will pass. I'm not going to react the way that Satan would. I inspected what was going on. I saw what was happening. We got the team together yesterday where we thought the water was coming in. We repaired, patched. But we also understand that the insulation is so saturated that it wasn't just a one-time thing. This is an accumulation of everything going on with the roof. And contrary to what Jess says, you know, we don't have to replace the roof on this side. We just need to repair it to make it in such a way that we don't have a shower while we're in here. We got to laugh about it. We really do. We want to give our very best to each other. We want to be sympathetic, yet compassionate with each other, just like Jesus. But we don't want to be burdensome with the things that we're going through. We don't want to eat up somebody's time talking about what's going on when you're not ready to hear what the answer is. The answer is in Jesus Christ. The answer is to change. I don't want to change. Well, I can't help you. If you have a relationship with the Lord, He expects you to change. Just like Charlotte. She's changing. She's now being potty trained. Does she like it? I don't know. I don't think it's one of the kids. But it's change. It's training for the next step. She's growing up. And so do we. But we insist that we remain the same at someone else's sacrifice. It is a problem. What has God said to you that you're unwilling to change? And understand, God will allow circumstances to come in your life. He will allow circumstances. He doesn't bring them. He will allow circumstances to come in your life to make you want to change. That's agonizing too. It really is. I tended to be one of those type of people. I did not want to change. And when God called me 32 years ago, I couldn't believe that the calling that he spoke over my life. I really couldn't. And each one of you have a call. And you are responsible to fulfill that call. You have to fight for that call to be real in your life. We have to be like the athlete or the warrior because success requires training, sacrifice, discipline, and the greatest ingredient of them all is obedience. That was a trick question. I'm sorry. Obedience. We still think that we've laid all the cards on the table. We still believe that we have options. When you said yes to Jesus Christ, He didn't leave you with any options. It's His way, or He'll let you stew in what you're dealing with. And one of the things in my life is, I don't like to stew in anything. Irene will tell you. Man, I early on in my walk with Christ, I was chasing Him real hard. I still chase after Him, but I'm more mature now. There's a difference. Yeah, I'm older. I wouldn't say I'm any more wiser, but, you know, I know Him who has all the wisdom. If we begin to accept training and sacrifice and discipline, we have to understand that our obedience really tells us whether we're going to be contributors to the cause of Jesus Christ or we're not. If we're merely spectators to what is going on in the realm, Jesus said, you'll have no part in me. That's a hard word. You know, this lie about eternal salvation without responsibility has permeated the church. And we need to understand that we have a responsibility that goes along with this security that we have. We have to maintain a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 12 says, we can be encouraged by one another, but it says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance, endurance, the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You have understood, and I commend you, that your position is now where? In heaven. But is heaven the goal? You said no. Why? But there is a goal. And you're correct. Heaven is not the goal. But we have all these people that have preceded us who have persevered, endured many things, many hardships. And read the 11th chapter of Hebrews. About all those faith men and women who did not attain the promise, but yet endured to the end. Some were sawed in two. Do you know you have to be alive for them to saw you in two? Some were filleted alive. And that is taking the skin off of their bodies before they died. They were screaming out. And those who were perpetrating these hardships were telling them they would continue unless they denied Jesus Christ. I just read a story last night about a Muslim who came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. He was a radicalized Muslim in Egypt, and he worked for a painter that hired on Christians. Now, Christians is a vocation in these lands that you really put your hands of your life in the hands of God. And so what happened was, over a period of time, this Muslim got upset with this individual who was a believer, to one night followed him, who was going to church for a Bible study, and stabbed him. He ran off, went to his grandmother's house, and he looked for sanctuary there until the heat blew over. When he came out, he knew he couldn't go back to work at that place because he had perpetrated this crime. So he began to look for work. In the meantime, a truck ran him over, broke his legs and his arm. And while in the hospital, the person that he stabbed brought flowers to him. And in the Muslim faith, they believe that Christianity, we're dogs to them. And so he said, I can't receive this. And got real hostile with him. The guy left the flowers there and his entourage left him. Spent many weeks in the hospital. And there was money being given to this guy who thought it was through his mosque who was helping to support him, when in reality, the person that he stabbed was donating 30% of his salary to the well-being of this guy. And when the guy found out that this Christian was supporting him, oh, did he fly off the handle. He got well. He got home. And his friend that he stabbed went to visit him at the house. And of course, you know, Christians aren't supposed to enter into the house. So here's this guy at the door sharing the love of Jesus Christ. Never once preached Christ, but sharing the love through his actions. The Muslim asked him, he says, why are you doing this? Why are you punishing me? Why are you torturing me? He says, I love you. It doesn't matter what you do to me. It doesn't matter. I love you. That's unconditional love. It sparked an interest. What was happening was this individual went to an atheistic coffee house where his friend was witnessing to atheists about Christ. And one by one, they were coming to Jesus. Here's a Muslim who's now in pursuit of Jesus, not realizing it. Make a long story short, the Muslim came to faith. Came to faith that his brothers beat him up, because converting to Christ is like bad news. Beat him up several times. Threw him out of the house. I don't want to serve a faith like that. One night he was at this Bible study and they stayed late. So the Muslim said, well, I'll just stay here the night and tomorrow morning I'll go to work and from the coffee house. And the guy who was stabbed said to him, come to my house. The fellow was too tired to argue with him. He said, okay. He gets to his house. This fellow who was stabbed gives him his bed. And again, he says, why are you tormenting me this way? Why? I've given nothing to you that would be worthy of this generosity. And he says, I love you. You're a brother of mine. You know, I can't see you out in the streets. You know, it's no big deal. He had a dream. He met Jesus in the dream. He committed himself to Jesus Christ that night. And now he's on fire for witnessing to Muslims in Egypt for Christ. That's unconditional love. I wish I was more like that individual. I really do. How can one run a race if he hasn't been equipped or had some sort of training? How can a person enlist in the military and for service and not be trained and develop a discipline for the battles they will face? We need to be trained in righteousness, godliness, love, faith, endurance, and gentleness so we can honor our Master and King. And that training begins with us opening up our hearts. I've now come up with a new euphemism. If it's all right with Irene, it's all right with me. Really? If it's all right with her, because I've done things to imposition her through the years that she never complained about. She would just say, I wish you gave me a little more heads up on this. I could do better than that, and I have. Too many believers think the training in areas that I just described are foolishness, and we'll get by without the necessary training. God says, no, you don't. It's not God's nature to leave us in that. He says, whom he loves, he disciplines. We're his kids, right? Well, expect discipline when we're disobedient. But what is righteousness? And of course, I hear the common thing. You know, it's our right position with God. It's so much more than that. It's not only knowing that we have a new position in God, but because of the work of Jesus Christ, it's also doing the right thing and honoring God through our actions. That's what righteousness is. It's right thinking to do right service without being suspicious of malfeasance. Godliness is living properly in excellence. Oh, I want to give you the scripture. Colossians 1:13-14 for righteousness. Godliness is living properly in excellence. 2 Peter 3-8. Do we live excellently before God? many of us don't even know what excellence is. You need training. You need understanding in those areas to help people see the change in your life. Faith. It's believing the impossible based on the promises of God. Hebrews 11:1. And I can tell you, I know someone who has a testimony of a miracle in their life. It's awesome. And I'm privileged enough to hear it. Love is demonstrating the unconditional care for others according to Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Do you have a motive behind everything that you do? I'm not asking for volunteers or hands, because we all do. Let's be honest. We have motives. I'm doing this for you. What can I get in return? We may not say it, but we're thinking it. And we need to repent of those thoughts, because that's not God. Those thoughts are not from Him. Endurance, having the lasting quality, being the same. Once you attain a position, that position doesn't change until you die. That's what endurance is. That's based on 2 Thessalonians 1, verse 4. Gentleness, remaining at peace at all times, being mild, being kindly, amicable, polite, respectful, not given to violence. Galatians 5, 22, 23, and 25. Anyone who is in the Lord's service, and that is all of us, Paul emphatically puts this before, not just to Timothy, but to all of us who are serving the Lord. Serving to build the body of Christ. Serving to people. Are we willing to make that sacrifice? Are we agonizing enough to put our life out there? But you don't understand. I've been hurt. I don't want to hear about that. I can't tell you the amount of times I've been betrayed personally. And I'm still at it. We know of a woman in another church who used to say this, pray about it and get over it. It is rough. It is rough. I don't say that. Not in so many words. But the truth of it is that we're in the Lord's service. Just because we make confession that we're believers, we are exhorted through God and the scriptures to live a spotless, clean, and free life from any sort of corruption. He's holy. We don't even get that concept. He's holy. And he tells us, he encourages us, be holy as I'm holy. What's it look like practically? Ephesians 5, 1 through 7, and we'll go through quickly. Be imitators of God as dearly beloved children. Live a life of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice. But among you there should not even be a hint of sexual immorality or of any kind of impurity or greed, because these are improper for God's holy people. Nor should you... Should there be obscenity, false talking, or foolish talking, coarse joking, which are all out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For of this you can be sure, no immoral, impure, or greedy person, such a man is an idolater, has an inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of such things, God's wrath comes on those who are disobedient. Therefore, do not be partakers of them. To sum it all up, we should be putting off the corruption that we're under. We should be not yielding ourselves to the things that are going on in our flesh. We need to give it to God because there's a greater purpose in our life than satisfying the flesh. That purpose is establishing the kingdom of heaven here through the local church to a world that hates him because they don't know him. They believe the lie. God is good. You have to see how good God is to experience the goodness of God in your life. And it starts when we deny our flesh. When we agonize to be what God says to be, and yet we give in to that temptation. That's why I repent every day. I don't want to take for granted my relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to have a vibrant relationship with him. I want to be holy, just like he's holy. I want to be able to touch as many people as I can, not just in word, but in deed also. And I struggle. Believe me, I struggle, just like you. But I'm willing to put my flesh down in order to do what Christ has asked me to do. Are you? And I want to emphasize that those who are struggling with sexual immorality or impurity or greed, just because you succumb to that is not the end of it. You can repent. You can get it clean. You can start all over again. This is what Jesus taught. You know, how many times does a brother forgive a brother? As many times as it takes. We got to stop taking things personal. We have to look at each other in need. How can I help you? How can I serve you? How can I do these things to build you up, to encourage you in your relationship with Jesus Christ? How can I personally sacrifice to lift you up? To not change and give in to our carnal behaviors is not acceptable, because what is at risk is inheriting the kingdom of God. That's his words, not mine. And anyone who practices these things surely will not inherit the kingdom of God. I'll give them five. Our lives need to show forth our confession, not that we are different. We do not participate in what the world says or do. I can remember the first time when I refused to go to the bar with friends of mine. It started. But I'm not any worse for it. I fell in love with who God made me to be the moment I received Jesus Christ. All pretense stopped. We need to put off the old man. Not only put him off, but we have to change our speech, our thoughts, our prayers. Even in our vocations, people are watching us. They're watching our lifestyles. They're watching everything to see if you're the real deal. I remember an individual who came to Streams, still with us, came with the auspicious task to see if we were for real. Are we for real? Answer is yes. You may be sharing with me some things. I want to encourage you that God is not done with us. You shouldn't be done with just being satisfied with your relationship to Jesus Christ every time an emergency comes up. Jesus will say, I never knew you. He may help you, but he died for the relationship with you. We need to show the change in our hearts. Finally, keeping our eyes on the prize. As we're agonizing and going through all this stuff, you know, the prize is not getting to heaven. It's okay. You can sin. You're going to heaven. I did a preaching some, I don't know, 10, 12 years ago, where I said, all roads lead to heaven, but only one person will keep you there. Boy, did you see people get hopping mad. But it's true. We'll all be in heaven. Read your scriptures. We'll all be there. We're all going to give an account. But not everybody's going to stay there. If you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, it also means that he requires of you to change. Change into the creation that you are. Because the prize is Jesus Christ. Think about it. He's going to live with us, or we're going to live with him forever and ever. He is the source of our eternal life. And if we don't have a relationship with him, what are we doing? Elijah is going through the church today that says you're okay with Jesus. You don't have to worry about it. He'll take care of everything. The fact of the matter is, as I've shown you, not everybody's going to inherit the kingdom of God. Not everyone's going to hang out with Jesus and have fun and party time. We know that everything that we do and the sacrifices and the agonies that we're going to go through, I said to Irene today, I just hate living on the cusp. I hate it. But God proves himself faithful to meet my need. God is so much greater. He is so much for us that he wants to give to us, and yet we want it without the responsibilities. I want to give you the opportunity today that if any of this has struck your heart, I want you to spend a little time before God, repent of this behavior, and begin to determine in your heart that you want more of Jesus. You want more of his eternal life, because it's eternal life that heals us. It's the eternal life that breaks the power of sin. It is the eternal life that causes us to want more, to want the people out there that don't know him to know him. If you want prayer, if you want anything, please come forward. Lord, I've given them your word. They have a warring spirit. Even to energize their warring spirits, God. There's so much more that you want for us. And we have to go through these agonizing times. God, we didn't suffer unto death. We don't live in a country that is persecuting us yet. That would murder us just because we believe in you. Help us, oh God. Help us to be the creation that you created us to be. Not what Hollywood says we should be, or what the world says we need to buy, but what you say, Lord, is really what matters. God, let them see a changed life that we, like the brother in Egypt, in spite of all the wrongs, loved. And it was your love through him that broke him down to commit to you. God, as we go forth today, I pray a blessing on each and every person. That, Father, we get real with you. We get real once and for all. Because the things that we're suffering, if only in it is a changed attitude, we're making progress. Help us, God. Help strengthen us. Help us to encourage one another. Help us to build one another up. Help us to love like family, like your family, not the family of the world. I thank you, God, that they've heard your word. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're even at this moment working within them. I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If anyone